Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening. Hello.
And we have a unique wine tonight. A kitschy wine,
kitschy.
I would say.
Kitschy.
Possibly stupid wine, well, but still. It is, you've probably seen it. I've seen it out. It's called Troublemaker. It's a red blend. It's by Austin Hope. You might have seen that winery, too. It's the winery that's charging $50 for a Cabernet from Paso Robles.
Unusual.
And you've never fucking heard of them. And you go, who the fuck is this fucking guy? And it's the maker of Troublemaker. That's who it is. I looked on their website. They also make Triana, which is good.
Oh.
Yeah, Triana's good. But that might mean that there's some chops in Austin Hope, because Triana is really good, and it's Paso, when I think about
it.
I've opened Triana before for you, haven't I?
We've had Triana.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather pay $30 for it than I would $50 for Austin Hope, though. But
yeah. Well, have you had that?
No.
Well, so how do you know?
I don't. It's called ignorance, Scott.
It's bliss. You are so blissful.
No, I didn't say I was happy. I'm quite miserable, but still.
You know what you are?
What?
A troublemaker.
Oh, I see what you did there. It's very clever.
Well, that's the whole reason I bought this, just for you. It's also kind of an interesting blend.
It is, and we will talk about that as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the Troublemaker Red Blend. You notice I did not mention what year it's from. That's because, technically, this is a non-vintage wine. One thing I was discussing with Scott off-air, and I think he's now realizing this, and there's no reason why you would know this, because it's unique to this wine. They go by blend numbers. So, I looked online, there was like a B6. Why the fuck they'd call that? I don't know. There was a Blend 9. This is Blend 11. It is actually the most current blend, because it's the one they show on their website, but they don't show references to the other ones. I did see, like, B9, for instance. It got a 90 from the enthusiast. Right? But when you look at the makeup, this wine is 46% Grenache, or I'm sorry, 46% Syrah, 20% Grenache, 12% Petit Syrah, 16% Mourvèdre, and 6% Zin. And that's the 11. The Blend 9, it was 71% Syrah, so there was a significant difference in that blend. The appellation is, they say Central Coast, however, Austin Hope is centered in Triana. It's all Paso Robles.
Yeah.
So a lot of these grapes are going to be Paso. They just are. There are no reviews for the Blend 11, though. It's odd in that sense. I don't know if there's more than one blend per year, or if they're doing like barrel blends, or what they're doing to come to that, because the website doesn't really say. But then again, they wouldn't for kitschy wines, now would they?
Well, and it's definitely a drink now. There's no,
I would think so,
ageability. The first time I had this, it was interesting. We were at a friend's house. They shared this, and they didn't have a decanter, so we didn't decant it. But it opened, it progressed nicely. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what it'll be like, properly decanted, and what we think of it.
And it's around 17,
yeah,
18 bucks.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap. It's not over 20, but it's not a cheap wine.
After having it once, I didn't think twice about buying it again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, sometimes these wines can surprise. I mean, they're not designed to win awards. They're not designed to, you know, be the talk of a dinner party. But they're designed to work. You know what I mean? They're designed to work with food, to work, you know, sitting, hanging around, drinking. They're designed to be pleasant, yet not memorable sometimes.
Well, and somebody's taken the time to blend five different varietals.
Well, I don't know if they took the time. That's just what they happen
Maybe
to
it's do. What the hop and pop.
You might be giving them too much
put work. In their socks.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, took the time. No.
No,
it's, somebody with a big spatula just did that.
It's interesting the blend that they've got going
Is
here.
It?
I think so.
Well, you're giving them credit for shit that they may or may not have done.
They took the time to count the percentages.
Yeah. Whatever.
The maths.
Yeah, they did the maths.
Of course, maybe it's just their maths.
Did you?
Aren't
I
that
never
accurate.
Added to make sure that added up to the 100.
Well,
I assume it does.
Really does.
The superstar didn't do it, so I'm assuming it's right.
Ooh, but, damn it.
Well, yeah.
Don't criticize his maths. Can you even count to 100?
Yeah.
Backwards?
1, 2,
Twice?
100.
Very good. 1, 2, 3, 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, the winemaker, they have some notes. They said, Troublemaker Blend 11 has an opaque purple-black color, which it does, and is bursting with black jammy fruits like boysenberry and blackberry, along with spicy raspberry note. The juicy fruit notes are accentuated by underlying tones of smoke, pink peppercorns,
okay,
green tobacco leaves, dark roasted coffee, and dark chocolate. Velvety tannins and balancing acidity bring out the vibrant fruit character of this complex blend. So, I will say this. I'm expecting to be this to be fruit forward and somewhat jammy. I'm not expecting to see any tobacco, but that's the thing. I love Syrah, but Syrah can be many different things. We've recently had some good stuff from California, but not Paso.
We've had plenty of bad Syrah from California.
Yes. Paso / Central Coast is not where I'd go for Syrah. I would go for the Santa Rita Hills.
Mm-hmm.
I would go south of San Francisco, but not here. I would go closer to Santa Barbara.
Right.
Yeah. So let's just see what we got here.
It
in the glass, it's dark as night, but then again, it has Petite Syrah on it, so that doesn't surprise much. The nose is unabashedly sweet, jammy blackberry. Boysenberry, why not? I mean, I don't smell boysenberry very often, but I would agree that it's dark, sweet fruits.
Not much else.
Not
even much. There's almost mentholated alcohol, but not much at all.
Almost a chocolate-covered cherry.
Yep. Chocolate is the other thing that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But the alcohol note, it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And this sucker is what? 14 and a half?
14 and a half, yeah.
Not bad.
Well, yeah, especially for Syrah. You're not expecting big alcohol levels with Syrah. So, let's go in here. All right.
You know,
where to start on this guy?
Hmm.
It's manipulated. It's not ineptly manipulated. It's not done ham-fistedly, so it has unpleasant flavors. I bet there's a bunch of people out there that really would enjoy this. Really would enjoy this. I'm not one of those people. But I know people that would love this stuff. And that's fine. It is unabashedly jammy. I would not go to the point of calling it a residual sugar fruit bomb. But it has it does whiff towards that. It just doesn't quite cross the line.
What is that thing that they're calling tobacco there?
just a little bit of oak. Let me go back in here and hit it again.
There's something accompanying that oak that I think it's what they're describing as tobacco.
It's like,
off-putting.
Actually, I'll say this. I don't find anything off-putting about this wine, which is off-putting. It's too paint by numbers. It's unsettling in the fact that, and it's ridiculous because this is just being a wine snob, quite frankly. It is done. You have bright, GME dark fruit. Okay, that is dominant on the front palate, and it's weighty. That leads into this toasty oak.
Yeah.
But it's not overpowering. It's very light. And has all the little bits and pieces of toast that you want. It's not woody. It's toasty. Which suggests someone has a deft touch with whatever they're doing. I'd assume it's American oak. The problem is, there's Purple Death there, probably, that is pumping it up a little bit, and it all just doesn't seem natural. It's drinkable. I mean, you could drink a whole bottle of this and just party the night away. The finish comes off slightly portish. That's partly because of that big Jamie fruit, and it finishes slightly sweet. Slightly sweet. But that toasty oak is pervasive in the fact that it's just all over the place there. But there's
something else with that oak.
It all works really well together. It's one of these things where it's a packaged wine that really all is fairly balanced and works well within itself. I just am not into what it's selling because...
You're being snobbish.
Well, it is being snobbish, but also it doesn't taste natural. It tastes stylized and manipulated.
What is with that oak? There's some profile that is with the oak, like a...
I don't know.
Dark, like a dry leather, like, but it's not...
I don't know.
It's not what we call saddlebag or...
It's too,
maybe they're calling it, that's what they're calling the smokiness.
It's too well proportioned to be. It's too well proportioned and too in place to be an oak barrel. It fits it comes in and out at the exact right places with a sweet vanilla tinge to it. And oak just isn't that predictable, man. And wine isn't that predictable. You can't make a wine without a little assistance to be that Jamie. Then, with this pearly white manicured oak that just is toasty throughout, with kisses of vanilla right where you'd like them to be. It's kind of like a bowl of Lucky Charms. It tastes really tasty. You just know that it's rotting your teeth. You know what I mean? It's a McDonald's cheeseburger. Yes, it tastes good, but it's not good for you. You kind of recognize that. There are certain wines that are just undrinkable because of the fact that they are so fruity and over the top and disgusting. Because there's no deftness to it. There isn't a talent that's there. There is talent here. It's just in the dark side. I mean, they're evil in their talent. And
I don't think this is Purple Death.
There's Purple Death, Scott.
I don't think this.
You can't obtain that type of fruit structure with the grapes that they have. Mavedre is... That's not Mavedre. Mavedre is tannic. At least Spanish Mavedre. Syrah doesn't taste like that naturally. Syrah isn't dripping with juiciness. A Grenache... I mean, I suppose if you did a late harvest Grenache, it might, but not naturally. Zinfandel, okay, maybe Zinfandel, but there's only 6% of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't buy that this was straight off the vine, crushed, and they just didn't add this or that to it to round out that fruit. When you read an article about Purple Death, the reason why they use Purple Death is to make wines that taste just like this. It's not as bad as some stuff we've had because they didn't overdo it.
Mm.
But you can sense it's there. There's no varietal character whatsoever here. None. You cannot discern, other than looking at it and seeing dark and you assume it's Petite Sirah, you cannot pick out a single varietal from this. I know it's a mutt, but even mutts, you can say, well, there's the cab. Remember, Bogle Central Red. And that's one thing I would say that this is very much like in its fruit structure. Bogle Central Red doesn't have that toasty vanilla oak, but in the Essential Red that we liked a long time ago, first, this was the first episode. And I've had Essential Red since then, and it's bright and jammy. It's similar to this, but not quite as pumped up. You could taste the cab, you could taste the Merlot, and you could taste the Zinfandel. You could taste those individual parts. Here, it's just an amalgamation. It's just here's your red wine grape drink. Here it is. And we have a toasty oak extract here on the side. Now, it doesn't taste fake, but it tastes fake in its realism.
Yeah, the oak component tastes out of line to me.
It's like a horror movie when they walk in and everything looks fine, everything looks natural, and that's the scary thing.
Then the music starts playing.
Well, you understand that everything is not all right because everything looks all right. If that makes any sense.
No.
What makes sense to me?
Well, of course.
And I understand why they say troublemaker because, yeah, someone could drink way too much of this too quickly.
Yeah, it's a troublemaker.
The superstar would love it. A superstar from a year and a half ago would love it. I don't know if a superstar currently would love it. It reminds me of Red Splash in a certain way. Red Sprout.
Better version of it.
Well, it's the Magnum version of Red Splash, sure. I mean, it's a more adult version of Red Splash, but it's still Red Splash. And there was a point for Red Splash, but it was $6.99.
Yeah.
Now, this is
not.
Well, I'm sure, but the people that like cheap fruity reds will think that this is frickin' the Messiah cometh. But this is the problem. For someone that is grading on the Olympic scale, there's no virtue here. There's nothing here to really enjoy, other than grape type drink.
In
wine styled drink. Yeah,
the oakiness is really starting to trouble me. It's becoming more distinct, and there's this sidebar with it that I just can't put my hands on. You described it as toasty.
Well, there is a
it's a pungent side of the oak.
There is a pungent side.
That
it's right in the mid palate, isn't it?
Maybe it's what they're calling the tobacco. Maybe it's what they're describing as smoky, but it's right in the mid palate, and it's just this oddball.
It's characteristic. It's a slight chemical note.
Yes. It's like an artificial chocolate or like...
Yes, Scott. Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Odd.
It's something just isn't right there. You have a hard time putting your finger on
it. And that's what I've been saying from the beginning. It just jumped out at me.
What's that fake chocolate that they make? Carob?
Well, there's carob.
Carob. There.
Cacao, too.
Yeah. It has that kind of flavor to it where you're like...
Where you know it's... Like chocolate, but it's not quite right.
Yes. It's like an email telling you that you won the lottery, but it's from Nigeria, where the English, it is English, but it's not English. You know what I mean? They use salutations that we just don't use, but they don't know that. That's what this is.
Oh,
is this made in Nigeria?
Oh, it just.
It's not. So Scott, it's not where you'd go, oh, it's so disgusting. You're like, that's just not right.
And what's weird, it starts to verge on almost like green pepper, and then it goes into that fake chocolate
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's right there now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that we've come to terms with it,
I get why an occasional casual wine drinker
hard time with it.
That doesn't take it seriously would drink this. I do understand that. I don't agree with them. And I think that they need to seek professional help, but I get that. That doesn't mean the wine has merit in any regard, but kitschy wines often don't. They don't. They're like this. But this is what I would say is, it is it's the same vein as Apothic and those things. It's just not as bad because it's fancier. It's a fancier Apothic. You know, that's what it is. It's a fancier
Apothic. It's a fancier Apothic. It's troubling me, though, similarly.
Well, it's troublemaker. That's why.
It's a troublemaker. Yeah. It is troubling me.
It is troubling.
It's troubling me.
Yeah, because you know something isn't right there. You just don't know what it is.
And I... You know, as I said, the first time we had this, it was a straight
drunk.
From the bottle. No, I hadn't had anything to drink.
Well, really.
And, you know, weren't drinking from the right... I'm not sure what the right glassware would be for this stuff, but...
Syrahs. These. We're drinking out of Riedel Syrah glass. So that's what the proper glass.
And maybe that's the problem. Prior, I was drinking out of the equivalent of a Red Solo cup, and... drinking out of the right glassware, and it exhibits all these.
I'll tell you what, you drink this with cheddar cheese. The sweetness that is there, really plays off the cheddar cheese really nicely. It's very tasty, but in a once again, like I said, a children's breakfast cereal kind of tasty. It's Count Chocula. You know, it tastes good, but it isn't going to make you feel... I mean, it isn't going to help you in life. I mean, that's kind of the thing.
I'd rather have the Count Chocula.
Well, it's not... I mean, you have a very negative look on your face.
Oh, my.
But you don't understand. It doesn't taste bad. This doesn't taste bad. In the... What's the word? In the traditional sense. If you don't drink wine, but you drink this... This is going to be the closest thing that you can say to, I like this, I think it tastes like wine. It doesn't, but you're a person that doesn't drink wine very often is more likely to like this. I'd rather them like this, though, than Concord or some of those other really nasty things. But the problem is this isn't teaching you much. It gives you a false impression as to what oak tastes like and what wines taste like in general.
And the longer we go with this, the more all I can pick out are those two things that aren't quite right. The unnaturally sweet fruit.
Yes.
And that accompanying fake chocolate-ish cacao chemical-y thing with the oak. And it's... I can't get that out of my mind.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This wine tastes just like it
smells.
I can't
get it out of my heart.
And that's not that common. It tastes exactly as it smells. Try it.
Yeah, that nose is there on that off-putting fake mm-hmm. chocolate thing.
Yep.
But in on the palate, though, it's more of a chemically taste, as you described it.
But only if you really draw air. If you just quaff it and move on, it doesn't come across significantly. And
as
the people
much.
That would drink this are just going to quaff it. They're not going to
right.
They're not going to savor it in any regard. And you shouldn't. What do you savor?
I don't savor this.
What do you savor? You know, almost.
You savor this, you're asking for trouble. You're making trouble.
Yes.
Troublemaker.
You know what, though, Scott? Let me say this. If, for instance, you didn't have a bottle of port, and say it didn't have that acridness, if it didn't have that one weird thing.
Ugh.
And you just had, like, some bittersweet chocolate.
Mm.
And you drank a little bit of this. You wouldn't drink much. Okay. I'd rather have this than, like, Cooper's Thief and
ooh.
That kind of stuff.
Oh,
I
mean, well, yeah.
I mean, I'd rather drink this than that. In a pinch,
we have had a lot worse. This is just not doing it for me tonight.
Well, it's not what we drink. It's, you
no.
know, for people that... that take it seriously, that and not everybody needs to take it seriously, but people that do, that, you know, say, you know, I really like a provincial French red. This is not that. This is the opposite of that. This is the antithesis of that. This is the Satan's ass of compared to that.
Okay.
But, so, you know, it's not surprising that we would find it unappealing.
I hope our listeners would, that have, you know, stayed with us from the beginning to now, or some picked up somewhere along the way, that we appreciate good wine, but we hope that you do too. But even the casual red wine drinker, I think, would not enjoy this. As you said, the Steve from a year and a half ago, oh, he'd love this. The Steve from now, not so much.
It depends on what you mean your casual drinker. If they drink and don't really think about it, and just have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
Or it depends on the purpose. I mean, if you're having a party that isn't a very good party, and you have friends over, why would you serve this, though? It costs $18.
Yeah,
I know. It's just an odd wine. It's a paradox of sorts where you're just not quite sure what to make of it, even though you realize, and I think the best way I can put it is, everything seems to be just fine, except for the fact that when you know what wine should taste like in their individual parts, it doesn't add up.
And that's, you know, the first time I had it, again, somebody else's house, not the right glasses, we're not decanting, and we're just having it.
Yeah.
And it was fine, and then it seemed to be something else as it opened up, but I don't remember this off-putting chemically taste, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is actually probably the char of the oak.
Maybe.
And I'm going to assume that it's not an oak chip because it's not too heavy-handed through the rest of the wine.
No.
So...
It's not that thing. It's not that oak chip thing we get. This is some other thing that... Ugh.
Yeah. Well, folks, regardless, we're going to take a break. Oof. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, this wine actually is reminding me of this topic. And we're going to discuss aspects of wine that we don't like, that bother us, that trouble us. Troublemaker.
Beyond this wine.
What we think are signs of something, and we're not talking about cork wine, mind you. We're talking about wines that are out there that aren't necessarily bad from a contamination standpoint, but are ones we just don't think one should drink.
Yeah.
And as we said about this wine, we'll start off with the Troublemaker. Troublemaker, I think, is an excellent example of kitschy wine that's stylized. And I always have a problem with stylized wine. And when I say that, I mean a wine that they've used some sort of manipulation. Let's just say Purple Death. And when they use certain techniques or whatnot, it completely obliterates and skews the ability to taste the different varietals within it.
It's not
for this wine. There should be a far more earthy component or some sort of more savory component with Syrah, Grenache, and Mourvèdre there.
But the Pinot.
But there isn't. It tastes like, quite frankly, kind of a crappy Petite Syrah. An overripe Petite Syrah. That's what it tastes like. But it tastes that way because it's been Purple Deathed, and it's stylized. It's lost its varietal character. So when I say stylized, I mean lost its varietal character in some fashion. And that can be because of over-oaking. That can be from a manipulation with Purple Death. There's been some sort of technique or additive that have been added to the wine or done to the wine that just throws it off from its natural state. So things that are stylized, I tend to dislike. It's not to say the wine can't be stylish, like Ferrari Carano's Merlot. It's stylish, but it's done within the confines of the Merlot grape.
Right.
What do you think, Scott? What are a few things?
That's definitely an example of the opposite of this. It's a stylized version of Merlot.
It's stylish.
That we love.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not what you would call typical of a Merlot varietal.
No.
So it's stylized in the fact that it's not typical of Merlot. We love that sucker. It just was velvety and lush and fantastic.
But there's no manipulation. It's just proper uses of oak to get to that.
I mean, our prime example for something we hate is the mass marketing of crap that is Meiomi Pinot Noir.
Well, that's stylized.
Sugary, residual, sweet, that's made
that
for
this.
The masses that, mm-hmm. And the sad thing about it is they took a brand name, per se, that was respectful,
mm-hmm.
bought it, pumped up the cases, threw a name on it. It's like the bad car movie where Tommy Boy, where, you know, the guy, the automaker wants to buy his brand and shut down the factory.
Well, yes,
that's
Callahan
Brinkman. Auto
yeah.
Parts.
Dan Aykroyd's character, yeah.
Yeah, wants to, you know, buy the factory
just
to buy the name.
The name, yeah.
Yeah, same thing with Meiomi. You know, they bought the name and, what, mm-hmm. quintupled the the production.
70-some thousand cases to 750,000.
Oh, yeah, so they, yeah, 10 times
something
the production.
Like that,
yeah, something ridiculous. And ruined it. That's kind of a disgusting thing that happens in the wine industry. And that's probably the grossest example of that.
Well, but I think that comes back to when you're stylizing a wine to market it, as opposed to you're making a wine and then marketing what you have.
Okay.
You're trying to create your wine for marketing purposes, as opposed to marketing what you make. And I mean, if you can't make a wine that is worth buying, maybe you suck.
Yeah.
There's one thing. But like this wine, this is kitschy. I mean, that's what it's for. And it's designed for people that aren't particularly serious about wine, and that's fine if that's the way you want to be. But that's the first thing I would say is stylized wines that because they lack varietal character.
Yeah.
The next thing I would say, oh boy, I had it in my mind. Oh yes, I know now. Charred oak.
Mm.
I actually saw, and Zinfandel, this is going to be a problem. I saw an article. It was about, a review. It was on Predator Zinfandel. And folks, the Triple B and I had that on a vacation. It wasn't this year, it was the year before that. And Predator Zinfandel is one of these overripe, borderline residual sugar bombs.
Yep.
And then what they followed up with is horrid, wildly big, syrupy charred oak. Now, I don't recall who it was. I think it was the Enthusiast. Referred to that as a style. It's not a style, but we've also come across that in a couple, some cabs that we've done. And some other ones. And it kind of goes along with stylized, but at the same time, it's the use of charred American oak. And that's not just in California. That's Australia and some other places that over-oak that. And it's a wine, ultimately, that is out of balance.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the style of dress I had when I was a big fat man. And I always wore a shirt untucked on my pants because I was embarrassed about how fat I was.
Why do you use sundresses?
That's what I did effectively.
Oh, okay.
The frock dress shirt.
Well, you did. I've seen some pictures of you
before.
Well, you are.
You saw me.
You are half a man now.
Well, I'm half a man.
Well, actually, one
half
third
of that man.
One third of man. When you were singing, my big 10-inch.
Yes.
Picture of that. You look like a turtle.
Well,
you're a heavy man.
Well, I was a heavy man.
You were, but good on you. You are svelte.
But that's similarly
you're fighting shape. Man.
Similarly, that was my style.
What?
To wear?
Oh yeah, we had a shirt.
Untucked shirt over the big belly.
Yes, and it kind of stopped and.
Residual sugar fruit, followed up by charred oak. That's not a style.
It's not a style.
It's an excuse for covering something up.
Well, no, they think people like that, I think, right?
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
Something that I just don't understand. You know, you've got a nice little restaurant, and people are going to want to drink wine. Not everybody, but wine is something that goes naturally well with food. And you've got a nice little restaurant, but you don't take the time to accompany it with at least a couple decent wines. You know, does every wine have to be good?
Well, this is
but
my
so fun. Many places have nothing but horrid shit.
In the past, okay, if you had a cheap wine, it would be fairly lean and insipid.
Yeah.
But nowadays, for some reason, these cheap wines, they say, well, lean and insipid just won't work for us. We want these things to be fruit bombs. And they turn into this Frankenstein Frico thing. And in reality, they'd be fine if they were kind of insipid and lean. I think back, one that we'll have on the show eventually, I haven't actually bought it, but it's called Protocolo.
Protocolo.
It's a Spanish wine. I actually believe it was made by the same makers as Numancia.
Ooh.
Don't get too excited.
How dare you?
It's quite bad. But when I had it...
Well, then why are we going to have it on the show?
Because we do that. We're having fucking Troublemaker, okay?
Jesus.
When I had it
That's
before...
That's my fault.
It tasted like...
I'm
tasted
embarrassed by this.
Weedy. And a little sun-dried tomato, weediness, grassy fruit characteristics. Not really. Maybe a lean berry and weediness. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. But that's what cheap wine kind of tastes like. When you drink a cheap Chilean cab, do you think it tastes like a fruit bomb?
No.
No, it tastes like a green pepper.
Yeah.
But then again, their wine tastes like that. But, I mean, I think a good example of wine that is bad, but at the same time, bad in a way that is just because it's cheap. Not because it's cheap and been perverted, is Lindeman's. And I say this keep, you know, they at least try to resemble varietals.
Yes.
In their bin series. They're not good varietals, but they're not something else. At least they're not stylized. So if you want a stylized wine for $5, buy Lindeman's. I actually recently had their Cab Merlot. It was grub.
You mean non-stylized? You mean something that's going to be true to the varietal, at least?
Well, it's going to suck, but at least it's going to suck.
It's going to taste like cab.
Well, it's going to taste like shitty cab, but yeah, it's going to taste like cab.
Yeah.
I had their Cab Merlot recently. It was really bad. But I would drink it before I drink Troublemaker.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that comes back to the stylized stuff. Wine in itself, just naturally, is stylish. It doesn't need help. It shouldn't need help. I mean, you should want to know what the Cabernet tastes like. You should want to be able to taste the Syrah. If you're drinking Chardonnay, you should know it's Chardonnay.
Yeah.
If it's Sauvignon Blanc, you should know that. Don't splash fucking Chenin Blanc over everything. I don't want that.
But it goes back to my point. So if you've got a decent local steakhouse, why can't you have a couple decent bottles of wine? Why can't you have a cab that's a freaking decent cab, for God's sake?
Well,
if you want to charge $12 a glass for it, that's fine, but give me a decent glass of cab.
How's that have to do with Troublemaker? Well, they don't serve this at restaurants.
No. But I'm saying things that irritate me about wine is, you know, you've got a decent restaurant. Pick a decent steakhouse around here.
Yes, but that's what annoys you about a restaurant, not about wine.
But it's something about wine that annoys me. They take the time to serve wine. They've got 12 red options, and they're all dog shit.
But it's not the wine's fault.
That pisses me off.
I'll say this. Over the weekend, Sunday night, Triple B and I went to Nada in the Reno District in Columbus. There's a few different... Yeah. It's a regional restaurant. It's a Mexican restaurant. Overpriced. I had the pork belly tacos that were a slice of pork belly deep fried on top of avocado, like in a cilantro red onion kind of thing.
And they're the small, the corn tortilla street taco style.
Well, these were street tacos. They were flour. But I'd eaten one time before there, and I got enchiladas. And that was maybe a year and a half ago. We really got wildly ill.
I thought you'd never go back. I remember that.
I know. Don't know why. Actually, Adam, my friend Adam, was with us too, and my friend Matt. But Adam also had the enchiladas, and he got pretty bad. You know, and I don't want to be gross what it was, but it wasn't like food poisoning bad. It was like a reaction to something that they use bad.
Ooh.
And go figure, Monday morning, had it again. Same kind of
wow
pain, stomach discomfort. And it must be some sort of oil that they use, is all I can figure. I have kind of a sensitive stomach to whatever they're doing. Same damn thing. That place, though, three little street tacos for $16?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
It's not that it tastes bad. It's just, it's
ridiculous.
No, that's just dumb. Never again will they get my money. I only do that because we were going to a Blue Jackets game, and it's at the stadium, or the arena. So, you know, $20 to park. That tickets were free, and actually it was, we lost 4-2, but still it was good hockey for when and the seats were free, but they weren't bad. They were on the blue line.
Okay.
They were high, but they weren't like in the end. It was good. Yeah, that pissed me off. That has nothing to do with anything else. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, well, you're fuck pissed you, off Nada. Yeah, fuck Nada. Can't believe you went there again. Why don't you go to Ted's and have bison, overpriced bison? It's at least a good meal.
In reality, they're not on open table, but I should have.
Well,
I don't mind.
It's difficult to get in game day there.
Yeah. Well, if you got a reservation, I mean, I got reservations. So, well, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and
destroy this wine
here. Yes, on the Wine Vault. Right back. Troublemaker Blend 11 by Austin Hope in Paso Robles, California / Central Coast. We're going to go around the room, which means I'm going to go across the table to Scott.
This shit sucks. Let's talk about what we're talking about off the air.
No, we're not.
Oh, come on.
No. We'll talk about that later. But
this sucks. I drank too much of it just to wrap my head around that horrible, off-putting thing that we've probably inaccurately described as chemically fake chocolate taste. It veers towards, like, I don't know what spoiled prune would taste like, but maybe
I know
it's
what it would do to
spoiled
you.
Prune, and I'm feeling physically ill from drinking this.
No, it actually, you can tell. It just turns my stomach a little bit.
Yeah.
Folks, we have pretty much a full decanter of this. We've been just gently nursing this.
We've maybe finished a glass between us.
Probably.
And again, I drank most of mine, but just to get to what that bad thing was, just to find a descriptor.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I said, Rob, what's that bad thing accompanying the oak?
Yeah.
It's just, as Rob put, it just, you, it, it some people are going to like this, but it's you don't know if you are a red wine person, you know that it's just not right. And I don't think I can give this a number. It starts with an 8. I'm going to go 79. I don't care whether the masses are going to like this or not. That just unnatural thing with the yolk is just so off-putting for me. I didn't particularly care for the fruit bomb of the fruit either. I wish it had an earthy component. I remember the first time we had this, there was an earthy component.
Well, you might have drank a different blend, Scott.
It's possible.
Maybe this B9, the Blend 9, they got a 90 from the enthusiast.
Because I told you, all I remembered was it was an unusual blend, I don't remember the exact blend.
And that was primarily Syrah, so you might have had some other different
blend. We might have had the one that was a 90, I don't know.
I mean, you might have.
But, you know, it is a Signal when it's non-vintage. I bought it anyway.
I say non-vintage, but I think that it's, I mean, you know what I mean. They're bloody.
The Vino listed years, but the bottle does not list vintage.
There's no vintage on this. It's not vintage. Website doesn't, so Vino just made that shit up.
They made it up.
Well, they suck, so.
Well.
You know. So 79.
I've got nothing more for it. 79 is my James Suckling score.
Oh, Jesus. What's your aggregate score?
42.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to score it that high. I couldn't score it with an 8. It probably deserves a higher score. I'm probably underscoring it. But shame on you, Watson Hope, for making this.
I don't really know what to make of this. I mean, I
feel the same way, but it just appalls me how bad this is upsetting my palate. And it's troubling my mind to drink it and try and sort out why it's so bad. My brain hurts from drinking this. I don't like that. I like thinking wines, but not bad thinking wines. It's a bad thinking wine.
Because I am, you know what? I have one number in my mind. I'm just going to stick to it. I'm going to give it 81 of my points.
Okay. I knew you were going to score it that way.
I'm going to be kind. I think an 81 is very kind. Not that it doesn't, you know. I don't mind Scott's 79 because I don't like this wine. It is completely not recommended. And it's also... Hey, what the fuck are you doing? That's what they also get. What the fuck are you doing? It gets a what the fuck are you doing.
That's a new category.
I just made it up. Yeah.
But it really does.
I mean, I don't know. I recently saw people I know. They were drinking this on their girls' retreat.
Really?
Yeah, and I've known these people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. I can see why they would enjoy that.
Okay.
And shitty glasses and just hoo-hoo, you know, kind of thing. That's what it is. It's a hoo-hoo kind of thing. But it's $18.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not woo-hoo. If this costs $6.99, all right. Yeah, I'm not going to buy it, but I get that for people. $18? Go fuck that. That ain't fucking $18. Yeah. No way.
And that's post-off price.
Yes. I will say this. I drank this before I drank bourbon barrel anything.
It's,
I wouldn't drink either.
It's that off-putting for me. It really doesn't do it for me.
The same way, too.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just not natural.
It's just so vanilla-y. And wine and oak, for that matter. It has... whiffs of vanilla. It doesn't taste like vanilla. It's like if an alien tried to pretend to be a human. And they would think we have certain mannerisms and whatnot. And they would just overdo them. So they would stick out. That's kind of what this wine does. It's like, Jesus. Vanilla is an element of oak. So let's make it taste like vanilla. No. Wine doesn't naturally taste like vanilla.
No. Jesus.
It has hints of vanilla. Hints of vanilla. Not vanilla. It has hints of blackberries. Notes of boysenberry. Not it tastes like a blackberry jam spread. No.
It
has toasty oak. No. It has toasty oak. Not it tasted like toast. I mean, it's like buttered toast, man. I mean, you're getting the translation wrong, troublemaker Austin Hope. You've been told what wine tastes like. You've made a facsimile of that.
Ugh.
But some people can tell. I looked at this, and I could tell this is a cubic zirconia. Possibly an imitation cubic zirconia.
It's not even real cubic zirconia.
No, it's not.
Damn it.
No.
Damn it.
Some of us know that, and we're not impressed. This is pretty easy to tell, because it probably was shaped like a dolphin, and somebody bought it at Walmart and said, hey, here it is. I mean, I don't know, what the hell?
I'm embarrassed it got me the first time.
Where'd you buy this at?
At least Kroger.
You didn't pay for it the first time.
There's
you pay for it the second time. And the third time. This is not the only bottle we've had at your house.
Yeah, well, I had to hide this.
No, you shouldn't.
I know.
Just let this... I mean...
No wonder Princess was grumpy that night.
That's the thing, though. For this kind of stuff, don't pay $18. That's the biggest objectionable thing about this. Don't do that. Although, St. Francis was easily half this price, but they don't make that anymore, do they?
No. Red Splash
by St. Francis. Yeah. And it was unabashedly like this, but it just didn't give a fuck. It was like, well, whatever. You know, it's like,
it was bad.
I'm pretty. And then it just ran off.
Yeah.
It flipped its hair back and just did its own thing. This isn't. This is wearing a fake mustache, you know, and pretending, you know, not to be a child molester when in reality.
Wearing the wrong color dress.
It just stuck out just a little bit.
It's two like, different shoes.
Yeah.
Both of which are left footed.
It's like you're trying too hard, and I know what you're up to, buddy.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're not wearing anything under that trench coat, are you? I knew it.
Tape on the glasses.
Just a little bit, you know. It's like the terrorist that wears a t-shirt that says, I'm not a terrorist. It's like, I'm figuring you out.
Jesus.
I think that's what you are. That's what Trump thinks, that they wear those shirts. Probably.
I'm from M13.
Whatever. He doesn't even know what that is. I'm not from Mexico. I'm from Guatemala. Wow. You're all brown to me. That's what he's thinking.
Wow.
Jesus. Does he know that there's a different country? He knows there's Mexico, but does he know that there are other countries? He doesn't care.
No.
They all come from Mexico. Well, theoretically, if they come from the south, they do go through Mexico. That's correct. They're not all from Mexico.
Well,
there's a whole other countries down there. Yeah. It's like they're Asian. No, they're Japanese, jack off. They're Korean.
Yeah.
They're Vietnamese. They're Chinese. It's all very distinctly different.
Letting them know.
Just top tip.
You know? Top tip.
Yes. So, with that, folks.
Oh, what troubles we have.
Well, don't try to be cute with this.
I'm so troubled.
It doesn't deserve that, Scott.
You're right.
You know, if you're going to be cute, I'm going to break this bottle over you because that's the way the label looks like.
You know what I'm more embarrassed by?
What?
I bought this because you're a troublemaker and I can't even mock you about it because you're not this bad.
No. And by the way, on the back, Troublemaker Red Blend, it says, you know who you are. You're intensely rich, velvety smooth, sneaky good.
That's giving me a headache that you're reading that.
You know who you are. And folks, if you like this wine,
you know who you are.
And we'll figure you out too. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we promise next episode we will have competent wine on here.
I hope.
I'm ringers, man.
Something.
Ringers.
Spanish.
Anything.
Maybe that's Salerno.
Or Casa Castillo.
Maybe both.
Same episode.
Well, back to back.
No. Can't. We got to stretch that out. We have some good wines, though. We have some really good wines coming up.
We hope.
Well, better than this.
God bless. Well,
then we have some worse than this. There's a dark horse back there. Who brought that dungeon? You guys are bringing good wine. You can't bring this shit. Anyway, for Rob the Wine Guy.
I brought good wine tonight.
That's true. Well, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.